and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo.
Hey yo, Mo, and here we are. We last episode we did part one, as it turns out, of 1989. Just a lot to get to, so we didn't want to talk for 3 hours on one show. So
no.
We're gonna do part two. We went through.
No, we only do that on April Fools.
That's right. Yes.
That's right. And episode one.
And for yes, so we went through the first 6 months of 1989, culminating with we ended it with the Saturday night's main event and the Memorial Day weekend with the Superplex heard around the world and the Brainbusters winning the WWF Tag Team Champions. And now that brings us into June. So
June.
What's first on the docket for June?
June. Well, we're coming off of actually the what do you call it? The
June.
Yeah. Well, actually, we're coming off a Clash of the Champions. If you remember, that was actually the last event we talked about.
Wow, there was a Clash of the Champions?
There was a Clash of the Champions.
In 1989.
There was a hell of a lot of them back then.
Wow.
But this one actually leads into the Great American Bash 1989. The Great American Bash, this one won the Observer Greatest Show of the Year award.
The Clash did?
Yeah, and has won in many polls. The Great American Bash 1989.
Oh, we're talking about the Bash now.
Yeah, the Great American Bash. That's the first major event of the second part of the year.
Okay.
And it won many, many awards as the greatest pay-per-view in history. Okay. It's been in polls and that type of thing, wrestling fan polls and such. It's one of the ones that always is either at the top or right at the top.
It is.
So let's quickly go through
it. And we should point out, it goes back and forth with December to Dismember.
Or Canadian Stampede.
Yeah.
Okay, or WrestleMania 17, but Dismember.
All great shows.
And every TNA show. Anyways, Great American Bash 1989. So this opens with Sid Vicious and Dan Spivey, and they won a two ring King of the Hill Battle Royal.
Not King of the Mountain.
King of the Hill.
King of the Hill.
King of the Hill Battle Royal. And at the time, they were tag team partners, and it got down to the two of them, and then they wouldn't face each other.
And they were known as the Skyscrapers.
You're not funny, Bobby. Anyways, they were known as the Skyscrapers, and they won that.
Then
later on, they defeated the Dynamic Dudes, who were at this point getting unbelievable heel heat.
Yes, they were.
Jim Cornette defeated Paul E. Dangerously in a tuxedo match. A match that you think to yourself, you hear it, you go, that's got to suck ass. But actually, it was pretty good. The Steiner,
it was actually
good. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, actually. The Steiner brothers, and remember, this was before Jim Cornette and Paulie kind of the heat they have now, and that happened later on for other reasons we can get into some other
time.
Well,
and don't New Jack said he was just going to cut you, so let's not bring that up now.
Let's not bring that up. Steiner brothers defeated Mike Rotundo and Kevin Sullivan in a Texas Tornado match.
The Varsity Club?
Yes, the Varsity Club. Sting defeated the Great Muta. To retain the NWA World Television Championship.
Wow.
It was an 8 minutes and 40 second match, but it was 8 minutes and 40 seconds of wicked action.
Now, was the Great Muta also involved in this?
That's what I said.
Oh, you said the Great Muta. I thought he was just a silent guy.
Muta?
Yeah.
Muta.
Muta, okay. Muta was in it, though.
Is it Muta or Muta?
Hmm? Well, I don't know.
Tomato or tomato?
Hmm?
Let's call the whole thing off.
That was horrible.
Lex Luger defeated Ricky Steamboat by disqualification to retain
title.
The U.S. United States Championship.
This was a great match. I've seen this match.
This was an excellent match. Ricky Steamboat got a lot out of him, and this is a newly heel-turned Lex Luger.
Right, with did he have Harley?
I can't recall if he had
did
Harley.
Did he know Harley?
I don't remember, but I do remember this was a newly heel-turned Lex Luger. And
I know
this,
he was going to have Harley.
Tell you the truth, in a lot of ways, 1989 arguably was Lex Luger's peak in the ring, for what it's worth.
Nothing.
The Road Warriors,
okay.
The Midnight Express,
okay.
And Steve Williams defeated the Fabulous Freebirds, the Samoan SWAT team,
right.
and in a War Games match.
Who else?
It was the Road Warriors, the
yeah.
Midnight Express.
Right.
And Steve Williams defeated
right.
the Fabulous Freebirds.
Right.
And the Samoan SWAT team. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And?
No, that's Fabulous Freebirds had three members.
Oh, okay. Right.
And had Gordy, Hayes, and
Gordy,
Garvin.
Right. That's Gordy and Williams on the
other. And now Hawk forced Garvin to submit. And that match,
that
considered
was great,
a classic,
yeah.
Awesome match. And then Ric Flair defeated Terry Funk in 17 minutes, 23 seconds to retain the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. And that was top to bottom.
And that was I Quit?
That was not the I Quit match.
No,
that was
okay.
Just
That was just straight up.
That was a straight match. That was their first match. Because what you do is you don't do the I Quit match first in the feud.
Was anything on a pole?
Nothing was on a pole.
Huh.
You don't. The first match is sometimes good if that's just a straight wrestling match.
I do not know what to think about this Southern wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. And people love that event. That's an event go out of your way to see.
Well, they're good people.
Yeah. Then a Saturday night's main event occurred, July 29th. Where Hulk Hogan defeated the Honky Tonk Man for the WWF Championship.
To retain.
To retain.
Not to win.
No, no.
Okay.
Honky did not have it.
No.
No, in case you thought he did. Jimmy Snuka defeated Greg Valentine. Brutus Beefcake defeated Randy Savage by DQ.
Oh, right, okay. With Scary Sherry.
That's right, Scary Sherry. She was now in Randy's corner. That's right.
Scary Sherry.
And the Brainbusters defeated Demolition. 2 out of 3 falls.
That's right.
For the tag team championship.
Yes.
That match was also awesome.
That was a great match.
Yeah. Awesome.
Even though
match.
And Demolition was running towards the end of their run here.
They were. Yeah.
In this one, and that was it. Wasn't so much Barry Darso that was who was he? He was Smash.
Yes, Barry Darso and
Billy Eady. Though Bill Eady, Axe really was the one who was the mass superstar that had been. You know, it was really. This was the end of his.
He was kind of, I believe, in his early to mid 40s by the time he got this gimmick.
He had, exactly, and he had one more year, I think, in him before Crush came along. So
exactly, but good stuff there.
Yeah.
So that was thanks to you, I lost my spot here. So just sing. Well,
not your liver spot, not your dog spot, but my spot.
That's right. All right, we're back.
All right, we're back, folks.
SummerSlam.
What? The SummerSlam?
The Summerfest. Oh, wait. Is that what they call it?
The Summerfest, the entertainment event of the summer.
That's right. Okay, the Summerfest. Okay. Yeah. In a dark match, Dean Ambrosio defeated Coco Beware. That I don't know why they didn't keep that on there.
I don't know why it was called a dark match. Yeah. Oh, wait.
Anyways, the Coco was in it.
What are you saying?
What are you saying?
I don't know. I'm just wondering. Like, Coco Beware wrestled a lot of dark matches to get talent over.
That's what you meant.
I don't know what you were implying, Mo. I have to get New Jack to call you again.
Get me into that.
Jeez.
All right. The Brainbusters. They defeated the Hart Foundation in a tag team match at 16-23. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was great. Yes, it was.
Yeah. Dusty Rhodes.
Baby. The
Dusty
Woods.
Rhodes. I believe it is. This is his first pay-per-view, I believe. I guess with the company.
It would have been, yes.
And he defeated, do you remember who?
Oh, give me. I want to say Honky.
You're right. Honky Tonk Man.
Yes.
I would love to go back and see the promos leading into that, because I can't imagine how they weren't just great.
I
don't know if the
because,
two of them had some sort of promo battle.
Because they wouldn't have known. Well, you're giving them way too much credit here. This was the Honky Tonk Man, formerly the greatest intercontinental champion of all time, who's really just sort of a puppy who's lost his way at this point.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, he's rhythm and blues. He's not really anywhere. He's just essentially, I don't want to say he's just collecting a paycheck here, but essentially that's what's happening.
Well, he's a glorified jobber at this point.
Well, I don't want to say he's a jobber
at
this
point. He's a glorified
jobber. He's one of their generic
mid-card
people. No, mid-card guys, like a Ronnie Garvin or a Jim Duggan, a guy that he hasn't named.
I don't think he even wins a match. I bet you if we were to go back and look at his pay-per-view record and such, I don't think he would have won a match over the last who knows how long.
I may agree with you there, but I mean, maybe the facts may bear that out. All I'm saying is that he had enough of a name that he was just one of those guys that was in mid-card programs, but really never anything prominent again.
Right.
And the Dusty Rhodes, when you talk about the promo battle here and Dusty Rhodes had just finished being a garbage man and a plumber on his lead-in vignettes over the summer.
Yeah.
And so this is his now, not his debut, but it is certainly his pay-per-view debut, his big show debut here. And so when you're talking about the promo and people may listening to this salivating at the prospect of the Honky Tonk Man and Dusty Rhodes,
they are.
And they're not. No.
Yeah, that's too bad, though, because it should have been great.
Yeah, they should have been.
They should have been great. Two of the greatest talkers in history, in my opinion. So, there we go. Here, speaking of things that are not prominent, Mr. Perfect defeated the Red Rooster.
Red Rooster, yes, I remember that.
Rick Martel and the Fabulous Rougeos defeat of Tito Santana and the Rockers.
And the Rockers, that's right.
Ultimate Warrior regains the tag team or the Intercontinental Championship from Rick Rude that he had lost at WrestleMania.
And Ultimate Warrior is so out of it, he actually thought it was the tag team title.
He might have. Jim Duggan and Demolition.
Now let's talk about the this isn't the regaining of the Intercontinental title by Ultimate Warrior. This is not the Roddy Piper spot, is it?
What do you mean?
This isn't Roddy Piper starting his feud with Rick Rude, is it? I believe maybe it is. Yeah, where Roddy Piper moons Rick Rude.
I think it was, because that was one of the top feuds of 1989.
Because that's right, because Survivor Series had Rude's Brood against Rowdy's Rowdies.
Yeah,
Rowdy's Rowdies.
Okay, good memory.
There you go.
Good memory. There you go.
So, yes, he mooned for God and country. He showed everybody his rear end there.
That's right. So, as I say, Jim Duggan and Demolition defeated Andre the Giant and the Twin Towers.
That's right. At a total combined weight of like 1,400 pounds.
Yeah, awesome.
You had
a sight to see.
All three guys over 400 pounds, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Hercules defeated Greg Valentine by DQ. Mm. 3 minutes and 8 seconds.
Because that needed a DQ.
Well, how could Greg Valentine have a chance?
Well, and really, I mean, why would you want a job
either
one of those guys?
42 minutes before he's warmed up.
Really, neither one of those guys could afford to lose.
Yeah. Ted DiBiase defeated Jimmy Snuka by countout.
That's right.
Hulk Hogan in the main event.
This is all the shit finishes here, right?
Yeah. This was a shitty. We talked about how that opening, you open with the Hart Foundation and the Rockers. Or not the Rockers, and Brainbusters. Sorry. Busters. And there's very little else on this thing of note.
Well, Perfect and Rooster, I mean, both guys at that point
it was 3 minutes and 21 seconds.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying that these are all-time classics. I'm just saying that, you know, that you had some – there were pins and there were – I mean, I don't really – at this particular point, it's finishes. I mean, it's like when you talk about Hammer Valentine and you know, and Herc, you know, it needs a DQ. And you're telling me that DiBiase – can't beat Jimmy Snuka in 1989.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, other than a count out. Like.
So anyways, this led into Hulk Hogan and Brutus Beefcake in the main event versus Randy Savage and who?
Hmm?
And who?
And Tiny Lidster.
That's
Zeus.
Right. Lister, no D.
Lister, yes. Lister.
Zeus. Horrible.
The human
horrible one-star match.
Machine.
That's right.
Who would later go on to be in Austin Powers.
That's right.
He would later be
the
in
Fifth Element.
He would be in the Fifth Element.
Friday movies.
He would be in one of the highest grossing movies of all time, The Dark Knight. Yeah.
That's right. Character actor, I suppose you'd say. And what also is the Z Gangster in WCW.
Yes.
Yeah. Clash of the Champions.
That's his greatest role ever.
Clash of the Champions, Fall Brawl 89. September 12th, 1989, 2,600 fans in attendance.
Wow.
This show was used to build up to the Halloween Havoc. The Road Warriors defeated the Samoan Sock team. The Z-Man, Tom Zink, defeated the Cuban Assassin.
Tommy Zink, we went from the Z-Gangster to the Z-Man.
Defeated the Cuban Assassin, not the Cuban Assassin that was here in Calgary, a different one.
No, Fidel Sierra, is it not?
Yeah. Sid Vicious defeated Ranger Ross. The NWA World Tag Team Champions, the Freebirds, defeated the Steiner Brothers.
Do you think Ranger Ross won more matches than the Honky Tonk Man in 1989?
Yes. Okay. I tell you who definitely did was Michael Hayes. Michael Hayes and
he won the world title here, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they had the NWA World Tag Team Champions, the Freebirds. They defeated the Steiner Brothers when Hayes pinned Scott Steiner after a DDT.
You got to remember,
they really
particular,
were getting a hell of a push.
But in this particular point in time, too, Scott Steiner still earning his stripes, paying his dues, essentially the job guy of the team. He's the Devon Dudley of the team. And this
was the first ever time that the Steiners challenged for a tag title.
There you go. See,
Flying Brian defeated Norman the Lunatic.
Man,
you talk about that.
Wow, Flying Brian and Norman the Lunatic, a stampede special there.
A stampede wrestling
fucking
special.
Fucking sing again.
Those guys
main
evented in Calgary and had some excellent matches and drew pretty well.
They did, yeah.
Locally, and then had a 3-minute match here, at the Fall Brawl. But at least the right guy went over, Flying Brian. So Dr. Death Steve Williams defeated Mike Rotundo in 7 minutes.
There you go, the breakup of the varsity club. Here.
Exactly. United States champion Lex Luger defeated Tommy Rich.
Wildfire.
That's right, with a hot shot.
Wildfire, my boy.
And Luger at this point was a heel getting cheered.
Lex, my boy.
Nature Boy and Sting defeated Dick Slater and Great Muta by disqualification.
Wildfire, my boy. I need you to go down on Lex Luger.
Dick Slater
and
was
then
a
on me later, my boy.
Dick Slater substituted for Terry Funk, but Funk got involved in the match and tried to put a plastic bag over Flair's head and suffocate him.
I'm trying to make Bob Barnett jokes here.
Yeah, I'm trying to ignore you. Leading us into Saturday's main event, October 14th, 1989. Macho King.
Oh, yeah.
The Macho King, Randy Savage, defeats Jimmy Snuka.
Wow.
Hulk Hogan defeated Ted DiBiase with Zeus.
Wow.
Roddy Piper defeated Haku. Tito Santana with the Red Rooster, Brutus Beefcake, and Dusty Rhodes fought Rick Martel with Jimmy Hart, Honky Tonk Man, Slick, Akeem, Big Boss Man to a double DQ.
Right. This is leading up to Survivor Series, which is why all these guys are in the corner.
Exactly. And the Bushwhackers, Luke and Bush, defeated the Fabulous Rougeaus. that never should have happened.
Well, you know, it happened quite a bit, though.
I know. It really did. Halloween Havoc 89 took place then. Tom Zink defeated Mike Rotundo. That was a good match, actually.
Is this
a three-star match?
Is this the Halloween Havoc?
No.
This is not the most legendary Halloween Havoc of all time. Is WWE Hall of Famer Abdullah the Butcher involved in this Halloween Havoc?
I don't think it was this one. But.
There's no Doomsday Chamber of Horrors match?
No.
Or no, is that a...
This is... Okay, I'll just get there. Okay, Samoan SWAT team defeated the Midnight Express.
Okay.
I would love to see that. So, yeah, Tom Zink defeated Rotundo in 13 minutes, and SST defeating the Midnight Express in 18 minutes. I think both of those would be great matches.
Well, Tom Zink here, yeah, really coming into his own, really, at this point, he's cusping here, and he's really...
A couple years after, he was a part of the Can-Am Connection.
And at this particular point in time, we talked, and we've talked a lot about Christian in 2005 and him cutting promos on Cena. Well, not as high up on the card with Tom Zink here. This is really Zink's time where he's building that momentum to someone, you know, is he going to get that shot to the next level, or is he just going to fall by the wayside here?
Yeah.
And this is right before he falls by the wayside.
Exactly. So you got Tommy Rich defeating the Cuban Assassin.
Right.
You had the Freebirds defeating the Dynamic Dudes, and to retain the NWA World Tag Team Champions, the Dynamic Dudes got a shot at the tag team titles. Again, the Freebirds were cheered like the faces,
and the Freebird,
despite being the heels.
And the Freebirds won, right? Yeah.
Freebirds won.
Over there. And how many times a month in a bar do you think that in Connecticut, do you think that comes up?
Could happen more than once. Doom with Woman defeated the Steiner Brothers.
Wow.
15 minutes, 26 seconds.
And this is Doom. This is under a mask still.
This is under a mask,
it's Butch Reed and Ron Simmons.
Yep.
Yeah. And Woman, Nancy Sullivan.
Nancy Sullivan. Yes. Nancy Sullivan. Sullivan. Lex Luger defeated Brian Pillman to retain the U.S. Championship.
Brian.
And Road Warriors defeated the Skyscrapers by DQ. This was the first time the Skyscrapers were made to look human, and it was against the Road Warriors. It was a really well-built-up match that you had the longtime monsters, the unbeatable Road Warriors, against this new team of monster killer heels,
and the Skyscrapers. And the Skyscrapers are made up of?
Sid Vicious and Dan Spivey.
So they're still Vicious and
still
Spivey?
Still Vicious and Spivey. Yeah, it's not Mean Mark Callis.
Mean
yet.
Mark isn't there yet.
No,
okay.
It's not The Undertaker taking that spot yet.
Okay.
And it's actually not a bad match. I've seen that match actually not too long ago. It's better than you would expect. Ric Flair. Yeah, that's true. Ric Flair and Sting with Ole Anderson defeated Great Muta and Terry Funk with Gary Hart. Bruno Sammartino was the special referee in a Thunderdome match.
Thunderdome
electrified
cage. An electrified cage.
I believe it was electrified, wasn't it? Thunderdome? Or maybe it was just
I don't think it was
actually,
electrified.
You know what? It was just, this was like a circular overhead, wasn't it?
This
so you
was
count.
Yeah,
so
you this was one
out.
With a circle in the middle, so yeah, it's impossible to climb out.
So it's impossible to climb out. That was it.
Because trying to climb out, that's just homicide.
And that's for about 7 hours. And Flair and Sting won when Hart threw in the towel for his team.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And this is right. Bruno Sammartino really speaking out against WWF and the steroids at this particular point in time. So WCW trying to ride the crest here. I'm assuming that this is in Pittsburgh. Or somewhere in there? I don't know.
Let me see if I have
Bruno Sammartino
of Pittsburgh. Philadelphia.
Okay, so Pennsylvania. Bruno Sammartino, really from Pittsburgh, but an icon.
Yeah, exactly. So it makes sense that they were able to get him for this event. Mm-hmm. And that led into a Clash of the Champions, actually, was the next event.
Clash of the Champions?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of town.
They have one of those.
Really?
Yeah, no.
This we're up to Clash of the Champions 942, are we?
come on. I think it ended at like 46. Something like that. It was called this is Clash of the Champions 9. It's called New York Knockout.
Tracy Brooks wasn't in it.
It took place at the Houston Fieldhouse in Troy, New York, and drew a big rating, 4.9 rating, 4,000 fans, so it was pretty successful. Fallout from Halloween Havoc, and it set up the Iron Man Iron Team tournament that comes up at the Starcade. So
we're talking about 4.9 ratings and such, though. Let's remember what a 4.9 rating in 1989 meant.
Okay, go ahead.
4.9% essentially of households that have TBS are watching. So where right now WWE is doing, let's say a
3.1 last
3.1, but let's okay, so let's just 3. Round 3. It to 3.5. Let's okay, just say, so and that's going to represent about 5 million homes.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you say 4.3 here or 4.9?
4.9 for this.
4.9. I don't know the numbers, but I would say that may represent, let's say, 2 million homes.
Yeah, it could be.
You know, so I just wanted to put that in perspective that when we compare these ratings to today, it really is, to quote Eric Bischoff, it's apples and bricks.
Is that his quote?
Well, that was comparing MMA to wrestling.
Seriously, is that a quote that he used?
That it's apples and bricks, yes.
Well, you know, he wrote it. Mm-hmm. So, and he's a talented writer.
He's very much a talented writer.
So the Freebirds...
Man, the Wonder Years was great.
The Freebirds defeated the... Actually, that fucking was great, but that wasn't because of him.
No.
Or Jason Hervey. The Freebirds defeated the Road Warriors.
Winnie Cooper.
Oh, she's hot now, man.
She always was.
Yeah. Anyways, you liked her at 12?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I lost my spot again because you're such a fucking loud mouth.
Not your liver spot. Not your dog spot. But my spot.
That's going to make me laugh every time. So at least say it one more time because I'm still looking for where I lost.
Are you still looking for it?
Yeah.
Jesus. It's, what do you think you're going to find first, that or your penis?
Well, this is smaller.
It's true. It's 2 inches.
That's right. Well, I'm hung like a pimple. But anyways.
What do you call a nun in a wheelchair?
I don't know what.
Virgin Mobile.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anyways, you got the Freebirds defeated the Road Warriors by just DQ.
Doom. What show is this again?
This is the Clash of the Champions.
Oh, a Clash of the Champions.
Nine.
Right.
Yeah, so the Freebirds defeated... Fuck, we want to finish this show...
before, so we get on to the next Clash of Champions.
So shut up so we can finish this in less than an hour.
We're good people.
The Freebirds defeated the Road Warriors.
Okay.
Doom defeated Eddie Gilbert and Tommy Rich. Doom with Woman. Midnight Express, Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane defeated the Dynamic Dudes.
Right. Now, was Cornette? Was this the one? Cornette was with the Dudes? And he turned?
Yes.
Yes, and he turned and
he was in a neutral corner.
No, he went, but didn't he go? And
no,
then
he's in the neutral corner.
Okay, but they turned.
But he turned and turned heel. Yeah,
that's right. Or baby face, as it were.
Yeah, because it was against the Dynamic Dudes.
Yes.
Yeah, so Dr. Death Steve Williams defeated the Super Destroyer.
Super Destroyer?
Yeah.
Or Super Invader?
Yeah, so this is the same guy. I'm going to say this. The guy who played the Super Destroyer, it was the Super Destroyer, Jack Victory.
Oh, this was Jack Victory, okay.
He also was... This is his fourth time he had played a mystery masked man in WCW. He also was Russian Assassin number 2.
Right.
The Terrorist and the Blackmailer.
He was the Blackmailer.
Get the fuck. Yeah, he really was.
Wow, Jack Victory taking
Lex Luger to the limit.
Jack Victory is a better worker than Barry Windham.
That's right. The Steiner Brothers defeated the Skyscrapers by DQ.
Okay. So the Steiner Brothers are starting to win now.
And this is where Women's Bodyguard Nitron made his debut. Nitron. I don't know if you remember him.
Nitron. No.
Yeah, he wasn't there for very long.
Why would woman need a bodyguard?
Why would woman need a bodyguard? Nancy Sullivan. I don't know.
So Nitron. Who was Nitron? Do we know?
I could look it up if you want me to.
Well, I'd like to know.
Because I don't know.
Seems he didn't last very long, so I assume that he was
Taylor Mayne. You would know him now.
Taylor Mayne. That's Taylor Mayne. That was Taylor Mayne. Saber, isn't he?
That is Sabretooth and Mike Myers in Halloween.
Yeah.
And, Halloween.
Taylor Mayne was in X-Men, yeah.
Bob Zombie Halloweens.
Also known as Big Sky from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
That's right. He was also known, the Skywalker, Nitron, Big Sky, Sky High Walker, Gully Gaspar.
Because I remember some tag team matches. Vinny Vegas and Big Sky were
a tag team. That's right.
Let's not discount the fact Taylor Mayne, he's fragile and was in the X-Men.
That's right.
Fragile X-Men.
That's right. And during the match, Sid Vicious, I should mention, this is where Sid Vicious punctured his lung earlier and was replaced by Mean Mark Callis because of this.
Ah,
skyscrapers.
All right.
His match, and that's the match against the Steiner Brothers, the Skyscrapers. That's where Sid Vicious suffers the lung injury. Mark Callis comes in and replaces him.
So a woman and an Undertaker in the same match. Okay.
Yes. Well, actually, they weren't in the same match.
Oh, this is the next
card,
match?
Though.
Same card, okay.
Same card. But, where was I? Yeah. Oh, you're killing me here. Lex Luger defeats Brian Pillman.
That's what she said.
Is that what woman said?
I wasn't going there. Oh, my God, Mo.
No, you would never do anything offensive like that. NWA World Heavyweight Champion. Yeah, he really does. And you just see how proud he is of himself over there. NWA World Heavyweight Champion Ric Flair defeated Terry Funk in a non-title I Quit match. This is the I Quit match right here at Halloween, or at
Clash of the Champions.
Clash. And,
So now I know if there's ever, like, a trivia contest of WCW or NWA trivia in 1989, and they'll say, what card did it happen on? I'm just going to say Clash of the Champions.
And odds are that's 75% of the cards.
That's it is. Yeah. Now, so this, and non-title.
Non-title. It was actually a non-sanctioned match, if you'll remember.
That's right.
The gimmick was that this match was not an I Quit match, and it was going to be so brutal that they couldn't defend the title at it.
That's back when
you could get gimmicks over because you didn't constantly blow through them and or ignore them after, as soon as they were happening or after they happened.
It's like your mom.
Yeah. Yeah, blow through. Oh, I got you. That was a mom.
Constantly ignore them.
Yeah. And Sting saves Ric Flair from the attack, only to be attacked by Lex Luger afterwards.
Right.
Gary Hart or Terry Funk and Muta are attacking him. So Sting and
Muta
Flair
also did.
Sting and Flair at the time are kind of they have an alliance, so to speak. They're their version of the NWA's version of the Mega Powers.
Well, Sting in the Horsemen at this point? No.
No.
Yeah. No.
No.
Is he trying?
There was talk of putting him in, and that led into
he was in at one point.
No,
right?
No. This is leading into their next event, which is Starrcade. But before that, we had
granddaddy
the great Survivor Series.
We did have a great Survivor Series.
November 23rd, 1989. In the dark match, the best match of the night, most likely, Boris Zukov defeated Paul Roma. You want to talk about that one?
Boris Zukov and Paul Roma.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you're talking about...
Try and keep it to under an hour.
Why? Well, did their match go less than an hour? Because I remember Boris Zukov doing like 60 minutes every night.
Every night.
Yeah.
Sold out.
Double shots, Broadways. Woo.
Okay, what I'm going to do here is a little game with this here now.
Okay.
I just thought of this. Okay, I'm going to tell you the name of the team.
I was going to say, I will name you the participants.
Okay. So this is Survivor Series 1989, the Dream Team.
The Dream Team, baby. The Bull of the Woods, if you will.
Yes, Dusty
the
Rhodes.
The Dream Team. Oh, God. Can you tell me who they're facing?
Okay, they defeated the Big Boss Man. The team was called the Enforcers.
The Enforcers, that's all I need to know.
Okay.
Okay, because the Enforcers would have the Boss Man. Oh, Christ. Would it be Boss Man? Would Akeem be on the Enforcers?
He was not, no.
Okay, maybe. I think he might have been at one point, and then...
These were 4-on-4 matches.
I know, these were 4-on-4. Now, it was okay, on the Dream Team, was Chico Santana on the Dream Team?
Yes, he was.
Okay,
nice.
So that would mean that was... I'm just thinking flip side on the Enforcers was Model Martel.
Excellent.
On that.
Excellent. Now you got two on each team.
Two, and then I'm trying to think of there's probably a tag team.
No, there isn't.
There's no tag team.
No, do you want a hint?
On the Dream. Was Coco Beware on the Dream Team? No, that was the following year.
No.
That was the following year.
But you're close in that you're talking about somebody with a terrible gimmick that's still memorable.
Oh, Red Rooster?
Yes.
And was like Haku?
No.
Or Brawler?
No.
No, you know, Brawler doesn't mean a fucking...
You're way off. Perfect. I'm gonna give you to them and we'll move on to the next teams.
Okay, yeah.
So his Dream Team was Dusty Rhodes, Brutus Beefcake, the Red Rooster, and Tito Santana.
And then Honky and Valentine, were they on the Enforcers?
Not Honky and Valentine. Honky and the Bad News Brown.
Bad News.
And if you remember Bad News Brown, another one of his gimmicks was
walking out on his team. Oh, is this the one where he walked out on his team?
He's such a loner. Bad News Brown, by the way, to me in many ways was... What'd I say?
Brad Brew Brown.
Ahmed Johnson's talking about it.
Yeah, or but, Blackjack Brown, the old
Bad News Allen. Bad News Brown. In many ways, the character...
Alan Cottage.
Was a template for the Steve Austin character that got so over so much. I think there was a lot of similarities. They had the little beard thing. They had the black trunks and the black knee pads. And they were both complete loners. That's it. I'm not going anywhere else.
Okay.
Oh, they're both bald.
Bald, yes.
Yeah, but no, I do
beer
think
belly
that, I actually do think I do actually think yeah, beer belly shoe I actually think there was some I think in some ways subconsciously that character is modeled after the Bad News. I see a lot of similarities in the way that he's booked early on as a heel.
I don't know that he was influenced at all, but I see some similarities definitely.
Similarities, yeah. So okay, next we had 4-on-4 Survivor Series match. Yep. The King's Court defeated the 4x4s.
Okay, so the King's Court. The Macho Man, the Macho King.
That's right.
Okay. Here we've got Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Now, do we also have the Honky Tonk Man in this one?
No, remember, he was in the previous match.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Okay, but I'm going to go with the 4x4s, of course, captained by Jim Duggan.
Yes.
Had Ronnie Garvin.
Yes.
Had Bret Hart.
Yes.
And Hercules.
Yes. Yes. Good job. Nice.
And the King's Court had... as I said, had Savage.
Yep.
It did I name another? It had Valentine.
Yep.
It was supposed to have the Widowmaker.
Right, because he was set up for a feud with Bret Hart. I always wondered if those matches were available somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
House show matches, somebody taped it, there was something. Bret Hart versus the Widowmaker, great gimmick for Barry Windham when he was there. Short-lived, unfortunately.
Unfortunately short-lived because of his dad and brother. But yeah. I want to say, the King's Court, I want to say, like, Haku?
No.
I want to say Akeem?
No, but you're getting close. You're thinking 1989. There was a debut of a big man that year.
A big man in 1989.
Yes, yes. Zeus? A debut. No, a big man. He was Canadian.
Oh, was it Dino and Earthquake?
Yes.
That were in those two?
The Canadian Earthquake.
The Canadian Earthquake.
Because
Canadian Earthquake's the one that took the Widowmaker's place.
That's right. Okay.
Big John Tenta.
So then you had the Hulkamaniacs defeated the Million Dollar Team.
Okay, so the Million Dollar Team was...
I'm going to give you a hint. Ted DiBiase was in it.
Oh, shit, that was one. And Zeus was in it.
Yes.
Now, and were the Powers of Pain in it?
Think about that team. DiBiase was with Zeus and the fucking Powers of Pain.
Zeus, the Warlord and the Barbarian.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful.
Against Demolition.
Yes.
Jake the Snake.
Yes.
And Hulk Hogan.
Excellent.
Yes. I do remember that. And I do remember my WWF magazine, which is why I knew that the Widowmaker was said to be in there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. You had the Rude Brood.
Rude's Brood.
The Rude Brood versus Rowdy's Roddies.
Roddy's Rowdies.
Oh, Roddy's Rowdies.
And were they
Rowdy's Roddies?
And were they ever? When you had Roddy Piper, Jimmy Snuka, and the Bushwhackers.
Okay, that's a rowdy team.
That is the rowdy. And I just remember from as a long time fan at this particular point in time, and I was a long time fan, I would say like 4 years, when Piper goes, "This man's nuts." I hit him with a cocoa nut, and he's still here. That's nuts. You know. And
awesome stuff.
But against Rick Rude, of course, the fabulous Rougeau brothers.
Nice.
And his NWO counterpart, Mr. Perfect.
Nice, nice, very nice. All right.
Think about that team when you talk about contrast and styles.
Yeah, no kidding. You have, it's all, basically it is. It's a technical a technical heel team versus a bunch of brawling faces.
Baby face brawlers.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, and then the final one was the Ultimate Warriors against the Heenan family.
The Heenan family. Now, this one, again, it was Andre Haku, and the Brainbusters was what it was supposed to be, but Tully Blanchard enjoyed cocaine, and so Bobby Heenan took his place.
That's correct.
And so, and of course, this...
Because he would be the first guy on this card that night to have enjoyed cocaine.
He would have. It would have
been... Nobody else.
No, nobody.
That's been on this card. Jake Roberts wasn't here.
No. Ted DiBiase wasn't there.
No.
Brutus Beefcake wasn't there at a Boston Bravo. Subway station.
Dino Bravo wasn't
Bret
there.
Hart.
Anyways.
So then we had. I'm sorry. Did I name them all? I'm just trying to remember.
Mr. Perfect. Isn't that how he died?
Yes, I believe so.
So anyways, yeah. You know, you named all the members of the Heenan family. So who was on the Warriors family? And remember, one of these things is not like the other. One of these things does not belong.
So we're. The Warrior?
Yeah.
And did we also have the Modern Day Warrior?
Nope.
No, not this one. This was the following year. Okay, so was Red Rooster in that one?
No.
Oh.
He was in that first one, remember?
Oh, no. I'm just trying to think. The Rockers.
The Rockers.
And the Anvil. Wasn't it the Anvil?
It was the Anvil.
Oh, my God, the Anvil. Well, Anvil, all he did in this match, actually, is he stood outside the ring wearing a fanny pack and yelled at everybody.
With his shirt off.
With his shirt off, yeah.
That's right.
I remember the Anvil.
And he's still doing that today, folks.
Well, he just got arrested.
We're actually going to have him on our show sometime.
He just got arrested, actually.
Did he?
Yeah, again.
We're still going to have him on our show sometime.
Yeah, we will, yeah.
Yeah.
I forget what it was.
We've never had anybody who's been arrested on
driving before. Driving without a valid license and something.
Or a shirt.
Or a shirt. Well, it was hot.
It was hot, yeah. Man. All right.
And so was that the whole card?
That was the whole card, man.
Awesome.
That was an awesome card.
Yeah.
Saturday Night's main event followed that up, October 31st. It was taped October 31st. Halloween,
okay. So
it aired November 25th. So the Ultimate Warrior defeated Andre the Giant. The Genius defeated Hulk Hogan.
Oh, this is the one.
This is the
match important because it actually created the hardcore title.
That's true, it does.
Because after the match, Perfect and Genius take a hammer and smash Hogan's title belt.
That's right. In 1998, they resurrect this title that was smashed.
And
the hardcore title.
Smashed.
And they give it to Mick Foley.
They found it and had it all taped up, and they gave it to him. Yeah, Mick Foley's a hardcore
champion. Yeah,
Vince
McMahon did.
The lineage. The Genius,
awesome.
The first ever hardcore champion.
There you go.
Full of glory and renown.
Dusty Rhodes defeated the Big Boss Man.
Okay.
Mr. Perfect defeated the Red Rooster again.
And this was...
And the Rockers defeated Brainbusters. Now, this was because of the problems that Bullet Blanchard had, they're basically going out of the company here and putting the Rockers over on their way out.
On their way out, and then to make up for, again, the Busters beat on the Rockers.
Many times leading
many
into
times
that.
On the house circuit. For the tag when they were the tag champions, and so this is just them putting them out on their way over. So.
Exactly.
Or they're putting them over on the way out. I should say.
That leads into Starrcade. Now this Starrcade features two Iron Man tournaments.
The
That's the
grand
concept.
Daddy of them all.
This is one of the most interesting concepts of all time. You want to explain the Iron Man tournament?
You can.
Okay. Basically, what they did was they had two tournaments that night.
Right.
Where it was on the one hand you had Sting. Sting, Lex Luger, Ric Flair, and the Great Muta. And everybody had to wrestle everybody else that night. And that's the reason it was called Iron Man. Not because of the length of the matches, but because everybody is basically a round robin tournament. Everybody wrestled everybody else.
That's right,
Pins, wins. And then you had simultaneously a tag team tournament as well with the Road Warriors, the Steiner Brothers, the New Wild Samoans, and Doom. The New Wild Samoans at the time... So it's basically two four-man tournaments. Sting, Lex Luger, Flair, and Muta, Warriors, Steiners, SST, and Doom. And SST, the New Wild Samoans at the time, they replaced at the last minute the Skyscrapers, actually, who were originally scheduled to be in it.
So the Samoan SWAT team became the New Wild Samoans? Was that just a name change?
It was a name change. It was Samoan Savage and Fatu.
That's right.
So it was still
the head shrinkers.
It's still the head shrinkers, yeah. But they replaced the last minute replacement for the Skyscrapers.
Okay.
The Sting won his tournament, And that was because at the time Sting defeated Ric Flair in the last match to win the tournament, essentially, because both of them had, going in, Sting had 30 points, Flair had 25, Luger had 35, and if Flair had won, a win was worth 10 points, so if Flair had won, he would have finished with the most points.
I see, okay.
So that type of deal. So it kind of, at the time, they had an alliance, and it sowed the seeds for a heel turn on Sting by Flair down the road.
Right, okay, yeah. Yes, yeah.
But, and I think a lot of people were thinking, this was about the time they were talking about adding him into the Horseman.
Weren't they doing that angle? Where Ole didn't want him in, and Flair is going, he's cool, don't worry about him. Yeah.
It was pretty good stuff. The problem with this tournament is because everybody's facing everybody so much, the matches generally weren't that long, and you didn't have the quality of matches you would have hoped. And it's tough for Ric Flair, believe it or not, when Ric Flair's wrestling four matches for a total of 60 minutes. this night he actually did, and I believe it might have been sold out. But, you don't get the same
Ric
quality
is wrestling,
if he wrestles one 55-minute match.
If Ric Flair is wrestling four matches, wouldn't that automatically make it a total of 240 minutes?
That's right. All of a sudden the show itself is already 240 minutes before anybody else has wrestled.
That's right.
60 minutes every night.
Every match.
That's
woo.
Right. Woo. All right. But it's a good event. It's interesting. It was an interesting concept. I would recommend watching it. And, of course, there's a lot of a build of whether or not Sting does get turned on towards the end by the Horsemen. So
I'll be honest. It sounds like convoluted bullshit to me.
It's not Russo-rific. It's laid out much better. But like I say, it doesn't have the blowaway match. But it's a good night of stories.
And
it's probably
very,
not Starrcade quality, though.
And I admit, we talk about the Survivor Series now. I can, almost name almost everybody on there. I have very little knowledge of 1989 NWA, just because, again, very, very hard to come by.
And I've had a chance to watch it now. I've seen this event.
I've seen some of it going back. I haven't gone back and watched all of NWA 1989, even all their big events.
You would pay attention to it. You've heard the history, the legends. You heard people talk about it. PWI, of course.
PWI back in the day.
You've read some back issues of the Observer, so you have your views that way.
I've got the ground.
Vintage YouTube.
Well, I was going to say vintage, especially, and I've seen the. The important ones, the Thunderdomes, yeah. and the
Chi-Town Rumble,
and the Chi-Town Rumbles,
and the
Steamboat and Luger US, and
yeah,
awesome. And the I Quits, and even you watch the Flair DVD in a chronicle, one of his seven DVDs I think he has now chronicles that that story of him in 1989, really. So you get that, and so I've seen a lot of it, and it's all good stuff.
It's because of our location.
Because of the WWF machine, this really wasn't drawing. It wasn't good.
Yeah.
It was just because, the machine was there.
WWF at the time
was
quite good, too, and had incredible personalities.
Mainstream is what they did, right?
So this led into the final pay-per-view event of the year.
Oh, there's one more.
Yeah, there is. Broadcast December 27th, 1989. No Holds Barred, The Match, The Movie.
Oh, The Match, The Movie. Right.
This is the last event.
I want to say that's pathetic.
Yeah, it really is.
But
what was the concept for folks who might not remember or...
Well, we haven't really gone through No Holds Barred in 1989, which is actually a very big story. I believe Vince McMahon, in his first foray into movies, he had his movie production company... which I believe called Shane Productions is actually what it was called.
That might be right. Yeah, I don't really recall.
And anyway, it was basically Hulk Hogan's first foray in outside of Rocky, but his first foray into be a leading man, I guess. First foray into movies, and he played a character by the name of Rip, who shockingly was a wrestler.
Yeah, yeah.
And a wrestling champion, and this lo and behold, this he was on the TV and wrestled, and he was on the number one network, on the number one rated show, and this evil network executive on another network who looked surprisingly like Eric Bischoff.
well, this is 1989, so...
I know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Wanted to steal Rip away and do this, and he couldn't because Rip was a good guy and great guy. So they found Zeus, and so then they had him challenge, and this was supposed to be the big match. Anyway, so that was the concept of the movie, which had guys like Bill Eadie in it, and Stan Hansen had a small role in it, and Jesse Ventura and Mean Gene. Anyway, So that was the concept of the movie.
Could be the worst movie ever made, by the way.
Well,
this thing makes
Suburban Commando. I would say.
I would rather watch Suburban Commando because I had Christopher Lloyd.
No way.
Yeah.
At least
this was a horrible movie.
It was total horrible.
I mean, we were talking about the shit.
Here's
the thing. There's a point in this movie near the end where this Hogan Rip character is doing the fucking hulking up. You'll remember he did that. Exact same thing.
Yeah.
He's facing Zeus at the end of the movie. And they cut to him, and he's pushing his, you know, swinging his head back and forth in that Hulk way. And they cut to him from another angle, and, you know, his sweat was flying off. And they cut to him from another angle, and he's bone dry. And they cut back to him with sweat flying off. And cut to him from another angle, bone dry. Like, just the quality of this movie was incredible and dry. But this was so amateurish and just brutally done.
Yeah,
not even a B movie. But I went to see it opening weekend.
I was one of the four people in the Southland theaters here in Calgary.
And not only did I go see it opening weekend, it was number two in the box office that opening weekend. This tells you how hot Hogan was and stuff.
Behind
Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade.
I was going to say, I had some great movie wins in 1989 myself, personally seeing both that summer, seeing both No Holds Barred and Young Einstein, starring Yahoo Sirius.
There you go.
Saw it in the same theater.
Yeah, I heard time. Yahoo Sirius is one of the people being considered for a movie role for the TNA film.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard that Yahoo Sirius was in line to take Dixie Carter's role.
I wish.
But so then the concept, anyway, getting back to No Holds Barred, the match, the movie, was they'd show the movie.
Yeah.
And then after the movie was over, you would get a steel cage match with Hogan and Brutus Beefcake, essentially the SummerSlam main event in a cage.
Yeah, and the SummerSlam main event was the blowout of the feud. And then
Hogan
decided,
and Beefcake against Zeus and Savage.
And Zeus was then hanging around with DiBiase and is around Survivor Series, and they decided to do this concept of this movie, of showing the movie on pay-per-view and having this match after. So they kind of tried to revive the Hogan Zeus and Savage. They had to kind of kickstart it again when they got this idea.
I think, and I may be wrong in this, but I think this was a matter of, again, being no internet and no real smart fans. At least not a huge thing.
This
cage match probably happened in July.
Well, this cage match was actually part of was originally taped and was intended to be on one of those WWF Challenger series.
Super tapes. Yeah, yeah.
And when they decided instead to do this concept, they pulled it off that tape and didn't put it out on that. Instead, put it on this. And it was just a cash grab that failed utterly miserably, because now you had a horrible movie with a horrible match with a feud that had already essentially already had its blow off.
Yeah, but I wonder cost wise if it was horrible.
Well, maybe not. Maybe
not. It may not be a super success, but I don't know. They
1989 was awesome, but it went out on a really shitty, shitty end.
Well, yeah. Okay, so are we going to talk about some of the awards here, or
do you want to do that, or do you want to do a third show here? We have 48 minutes because I don't know how long is it going to take to do the awards. What do you think?
Well, we're at 48 minutes. Why don't we hit some of the highlights? We don't have to go through every award.
Okay.
Let's talk about the PWI and the Wrestling Observer, maybe Wrestler of the Year.
Okay, just give me a moment here. Let me just call it up here through the email. And 1989, the Wrestler of the Year was Ric Flair.
Okay, yes.
From Observer. These are the Observer Awards. Actually, I'll just read them out to you and we'll just
make some comment. Read me the Observer
If there's
awards.
Something that you may want to comment on or I want to comment on, we will. So Luthez Ric Flair Award for Wrestler of the Year went to Ric Flair.
Really? Ric Flair Award went to Ric Flair.
It did. Most Outstanding Wrestler went to Ric Flair. Feud of the Year was Ric Flair versus Terry Funk.
Yep.
Here's an interesting one. Who do you think won Tag Team of the Year in 1989?
Tag Team of the Year in 1989, I want to say the Freebirds.
You'd be wrong. This is going to surprise you. The Rockers. The Rockers won Tag Team of the Year in 1989.
For the Observer Awards, that doesn't surprise me because, A, they were known as a smart team, in terms of they had the smarts, and they were also fighting the friggin' Brainbusters.
That's true. But I would have thought the Brainbusters would have won, put it that way. Most Improved, Lex Luger. Best on Interviews, Terry Funk.
OK. Okay.
Most charismatic, Hulk Hogan.
Okay, yes.
Best technical wrestler, Jushin Liger. Bruiser Brody Memorial Award for Best Brawler went to Terry Funk.
Didn't go to Bruiser Brody.
No. Okay. Best flying wrestler went to Jushin Liger.
Okay.
Most overrated was the Ultimate Warrior. Most underrated was a wrestler from All Japan.
Ranger Ross.
Dan Crawford.
Dan Crawford!
Yeah, promotion of the year is actually UWF, which is actually a Japanese promotion.
Dan Crawford, known here locally as a crook.
That's a different Dan Crawford.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
This was Pierre Lafond.
This is Pierre Lafond, yes.
Or Phil Lafond, I'm sorry. Phil Lafond.
Yes, Phil Lafond. UWF was promotion of the year, and best weekly TV show was All Japan. UWF, I think that was actually a Japanese version of the UWF, if I remember correctly.
UWFI.
Yeah, UWFI. I think you're
so
right.
So this... Yeah.
Match of the year was on the Observer was Ricky Steamboat versus Ric Flair 2 out of 3 falls match from the Clash of Champions.
From the
one
Clash.
We talked about
right,
before.
Not the Chi-Town, but the Clash.
The Chi-Town.
Clash.
Yeah, the Clash, the 2 out of 3 falls,
right.
55 minute match.
Yeah.
Rookie Ooh. Of the year, Dustin Rhodes.
Okay, the natural.
Yeah, the natural, Dustin Rhodes. Best television announcer in 1989 was Jim Ross.
Jim Ross.
The very first year that they did this award, in 1977, best announcer.
Jim Ross.
Jim Ross was number 2 behind Gordon Solie.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Holy fuck, that was the year I was born.
Yeah. Worst television announcer, Ed Whalen.
Boo.
Boo. Actually, it's probably true. He's pretty shitty. Yeah. I love him. Yeah, I mean, we sign off with him at the end of every episode.
Oh, he's tremendous.
Yeah.
In his shit.
Best major show, of course, Great American Bash. Worst major show, WrestleMania 5.
Okay.
I think that's a little harsh, but, you know.
I don't. What was the best match on WrestleMania 5?
I don't recall.
Hogan and Savage.
And then what was the second best match?
Rude and Warrior? And then what do we have? No, it was a shit card.
Maybe it wasn't that great, but I just didn't...
And then if you're talking to the Observer...
Let's put it this way.
When
I look back on the shitty Manias,
yes.
And I think about this last one, or Mania 9, I don't put this in that same category.
But when you're talking about a smart in-ring crowd of the Observer Awards,
yeah.
And NWA putting on the in-ring product that it was, and the fact that the NWA put on 97 Clash of Champions alone,
yeah.
That's going to put Mania... pretty much down there.
That's true. The best wrestling maneuver, this one I cannot deny, Scott Steiner. Can you tell me the first time you saw the Frankensteiner?
Oh, the Frankensteiner.
I mean, now it's commonplace. And it's commonplace from smaller wrestlers. And even Scott Steiner is still doing a version of it off the rope. But the first time I saw this 250-pound jacked-up guy jump over and reach somebody's shoulders and snap him around, I thought that was the greatest thing I'd ever seen in my entire life, athletically, both for the cool factor.
Well, and the Frankensteiner was not the Hurricanrana that we know it to be today. Because the Frankensteiner's thing was that you were planting the guy's, with your feet, planting the guy's head into the mat.
Yeah.
The deal. This wasn't like a, almost like a...
More like a head scissors.
I was going to say a head scissor takeover that it's become, right? So.
Okay, so the worst work match of the year... Andre the Giant versus the Ultimate Warrior. Those matches were terrible.
Those were shitty.
They were feuding, and they were trying to put Warrior over, but Andre was really hurt at the time. So what they were doing was a series of house shows and any match between them, basically.
30 seconds.
Yeah, it was a 30-second. Andre came into the ring, and the concept was Warrior came in with just clothesline,
maybe a shoulder tackle splash done.
Yeah, and then he hit him with such speed and power that Andre couldn't match it.
Yeah.
Most disgusting promotional tactic was Jose Gonzalez babyface push from World Wrestling Council.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain to everybody why that was disgusting?
Because he killed Bruiser Brody.
Yes, exactly.
And he's a babyface.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And he legitimately killed him.
In the shower, yeah.
Yeah,
we won't get into detail because we don't have time.
It's for another day, but I mean, nothing's worth killing a man over, but especially over what he did. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then he turned a baby
face. And then the baby face, right? Yeah. That would be, that would be if Benoit lived turning him into a baby face, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
Really? I mean, same thing.
It's basically the same idea. Or if Jimmy Snuka had lived, that they'd turn him into a big weight.
But the difference is that, well, no, I guess it really isn't.
Worst feud of the year, Andre the Giant versus Ultimate Warrior. We talk about that.
Yep.
Worst promotion of the year. This was their second to last year of this company's existence, and that's American Wrestling Association.
AWA. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Best booker was Shohei Baba from All Japan.
Giant Baba.
Yeah. Promoter of the year, Akira Maeda from the UWFI that we talked about.
Akira Maeda,
Okay. Best gimmick was Jushin Liger anime superhero gimmick.
Right, okay.
Worst gimmick was the Ding Dongs.
More than Ranger Ross.
Comical idiots, it's called. Yeah. Your best babyface, Hulk Hogan. Best heel, Terry Funk. Mm-hmm. Manager, Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette essentially owned this award in the Observer Awards. Whereas in PWI, other people, especially Heenan,
Jimmy
were able to
Hart
get
a lot,
into it.
Too.
Yeah, yeah. Reader's favorite wrestler, Ric Flair. Reader's least favorite wrestler, guess.
Ranger Ross.
Ultimate Warrior. Yeah. Worst wrestler was Andre the Giant. Worst tag team was the Powers of Pain. Worst manager, Mr. Fuji.
Aw, I love Mr. Fuji.
Well, he was a shitty manager, though.
George
Takei. Most embarrassing wrestler was Andre. Now we're going to move on to, quickly, we'll move on to the PWI
Awards. Let's do the After Awards. We've got to move on, Mr. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's it's an interesting contrast because the After Awards were essentially a casual wrestling fan and a wider audience, whereas the Observer Awards were your hardcore wrestling fans and a far smaller audience voting on it.
Right.
And both of these were done off fan voting. So the Wrestler of the Year, the winner was Hulk Hogan. The first wrestler runner-up was – or sorry, the winner was Ric Flair.
Okay.
The first runner-up was Hulk Hogan. Second runner-up was Lex Luger. And Ricky Steamboat was third runner-up.
Okay. But then
Lex Luger was second runner-up. Wrestler of the Year. Second runner-up.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
The tag team of the year here was the Brainbusters. Remember the tag team of the year was the team working against the Brainbusters.
Right, the Rockers. Yeah.
Yeah. Demolition was first runner-up with Road Warriors were number two. Doom was number three.
Yeah, okay.
And the Fabulous Freebirds actually tied Doom. Actually, Doom and Fabulous Freebirds were both number three.
That's surprising, actually, because the Freebirds had a lot of... wins.
They did. The Freebirds were really highly pushed.
Yeah.
Match of the year, this one's a little different. This was the Russell War match. That not the 2 out of 3 falls match, but the match that came up where
the final one.
The final one where Flair regains it and has the angle with Funk.
Has with Funk. Okay.
Okay. Feud of the year though was Flair versus Funk. Number two was Hogan versus Savage.
Okay.
Skander Akbar's Devastation Inc. versus Eric Embry was the second runner up.
Right.
And the third runner-up was Roddy Piper versus Rick Rude.
Okay.
Most popular wrestler was Hulk Hogan, with Flair, Sting, and Luger coming in behind.
Okay.
Notice how that's one WWF guy and three NWA guys.
NWA guys, yeah.
The most hated wrestler, Randy Savage.
Okay.
Followed by Terry Funk, Rick Rude, and Lex Luger.
Okay.
And this actually comes up to something that actually somebody sent us an email question. We'll talk about it on another show sometime. But somebody asked me if I think does a great baby face draw more money or great heel draw more money for a company?
Okay.
So that's something that actually I think we should discuss sometime.
Yeah, we'll do that. No, yeah, we'll read that down on another show for sure.
Yeah. I can't recall. I'll have to look up who emailed it, but it's a good question.
It is.
Most improved wrestler was Scott Steiner, with Brutus Beefcake as first runner-up, then Jeff Jarrett. Rookie of the Year was the Destruction Crew.
Mike Enos and Wayne Train Bloom.
That's right. Who were known in the WWF as
the Beverly Brothers.
That's right.
And known in WCW, I believe, as Wayne Bloom. And then Mike Enos was the was he the Mauler?
Something
I believe.
Like that. Yeah.
He was in the ring.
They weren't a team though in WCW.
I believe they did some Thunder teaming, but they weren't a regular team.
Okay. Well, Dustin Rhodes was the number one runner-up. And the number two or the second runner-up was Scotty the Body. Can you tell people who that was?
Scotty the Body, known as Scotty Flamingo, later known as Johnny Polo, but more popularly known as Raven.
Gordon Solie won the Lifetime Achievement. And the Manager of the Year here was Bobby Heenan, with Gary Hart number two, Teddy Long, and Skander Akbar were the other runner-ups.
So no Jim Cornette.
No Jim Cornette in 1989. So I do think, like I say, Cornette was owning the other one. But I think it's kind of interesting contrast there.
It really is, yeah.
Because, I mean, the team like the Rockers weren't even into PWI Awards, right? And they won the other one. So.
But as we said, overall thoughts, 1989 was a great year.
Yeah, not everything was great. You can find a lot of shit.
You can find a lot of stuff to laugh at.
But I don't think it's just nostalgia. I also think there was a lot of great shit. And for me, the highlight was that my favorite, if you're asking me my favorite thing of the year, it was the Saturday night's main event angle with Hogan, and that night the main event with Hogan and Savage. Savage attacking him after backing down and then cutting that promo with the lust in your eyes. And the intensity and how – when I watched that, I would still pay for a pay-per-view to watch them wrestle tomorrow, whereas they can't make me do that today.
Favorite match?
My favorite match is 1989. Oh. I probably do go with the Russell War match. I really think that was a tremendous match for me personally. How about you?
Well, for me,
your favorite moment, your favorite match.
I think again, yeah, favorite moment, lust in your eyes, has got to be it. I would give, the whole year was tremendous. I guess I would have to give sort of an honorable mention to that Royal Rumble spot with Demolition 1 and 2 and then Andre number 3.
Yeah, that was great.
I think that was great. And also, one of the greatest moments of 1989 was, of course, the blackmailer against
Lex Luger. 13 minutes against Lex Luger. So your favorite match of the year?
My favorite match of that year, I'm going to say the Funk and Flair I Quit.
Yeah.
Awesome. I remember the Ricky Steamboat thing and it was great, but I just remember when Funk did the whole table spot and then eventually to lead to
that
it was just great.
The Savage heel turn and attack might be my favorite one, but the Funk heel turn and attack might be my second favorite. So
I'm going to give honorable mention to Ted DiBiase against Jimmy Snuka from Saturday night's main event.
I'm going to give Ted DiBiase versus Hercules as my honor.
Hercules.
Well, no, the other two matches to me, the Varsity Club versus and now it escaped me.
You said the Varsity Club against the Road Warriors, did you not?
Yeah, Varsity Club versus the Road Warriors.
The first one.
Yeah, the first one. That was tremendous. And the Hart Foundation versus the Brain Busters.
From the SummerSlam. Yeah.
Awesome.
When you're talking tag team competition, honestly, it really was the Brain Busters' year. When you talk about them against the Rockers, them against Demolition, them against Martel took off on him, him against the Strike Force at that WrestleMania. Talk about what's the second best match after that. It would probably be that one. And then the Hart Foundation and just again on their way out and the Rockers there. So it really was their year.
Yeah, it was awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. And you know what? They were a tag team. They weren't called the Brain Busters, but they'd been teaming together as part of the Horsemen the year prior. Exactly. For the last couple of years, we were hearing they were the best team in the world, but we didn't get a chance to see them much. Mm-hmm. And I kept on reading in the PWI and different places how that's the best team and going, oh, no, it's not the best team. The Demolition or the Hart Foundation, those are the best teams because that's what I saw. The Bulldogs is a whole other thing. But
can't believe the Brain Busters never got to fight the Killer Bees.
But that was great.
But it was, and I did tell those Tully Blanchard.
Brainbusters, British Bulldogs, the four Bs.
The Tully Blanchard elbows. I mean, oh my God, those are great. The elbow after elbow on the ground. But anyway, that's going to wrap up 1989. Yeah, I'm just going to, we'll hit it up. WeTalkWrestling.podomatic.com is how you catch all of the episodes of our humble little podcast here. WeTalkWrestling.blogspot.com is how you can read our blogs updated as often as we got shit to write, which is fairly frequently, every few days or so. And WeTalkWrestling@aim.com. If you do have a mailbag question or a comment, please send it in. And WeTalkWrestling also available on Twitter, so follow us. As I said, we'll follow you back. So that's going to do it for 1989.
OUT.
In the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.